Charlotte Soccer Show. John Hayes, Danny Brams. I'm back, fresh from Northern Ireland. You've been hanging out here, Danny, going to Charlotte FC matches, rubbing elbows as always.
With
people inside the club. So there's a lot to talk about tonight. But first, we're going to celebrate the fact that we're hanging here,
right,
at Triple C in our normal spot. It's like a recording studio at this point out here.
I mean, corner table at Triple C on the outdoor patio is the place to be. We've recorded many episodes out here. This is our first one here in a while, though, it feels good. Yeah. But the music,
that's why it's an OG,
is pumping.
Episode.
They always got really good playlists.
And Tifo's questions.
And Tifo's questions are teed up. Ash Hamrick, shout out. Where's your question, Ash? We need you to put one in. You're always asking us to do a Tifo's questions episode. I haven't seen your question yet. Maybe it'll come in before we're done taping. We'll see. But yeah, if life is good, Johnny, it's good to have you back. This is the first time you and I have really, like, the dynamic duo back on the mics because of, like, life and vacations and things like that.
It's good to be back, but it's... You never leave when you get to see content like Decoding the Presser, and you get to see goals. Wait, what is it?
Goals. Yeah, man. Goals is a great new YouTube content on the channel, for sure. Make sure
shout
you subscribe.
Shout out to Danny Brackett.
Yeah, for sure.
For that. I mean, what a great contribution.
The incredible shrinking Danny Brackett, you know, for sure.
I texted him like a production note after the show.
Headroom, hashtag headroom. But we love you, Danny. Thanks for jumping in there, and we'll do another one soon.
Yeah, I think it's like a new staple of our program. Right.
Just like Decoding the Presser has become sort of a franchise, now Goals is a franchise.
And then the purpose of this episode is just an audio-only, full-length podcast. Right.
In your ears.
So all the type of content is different. That's the point.
Right. Well, it's the Charlotte Soccer Show universe is being expanded, basically, you know. And it is great to be having you back here, Johnny, and just like... Cheers. And let's cheers. Like we've been cheers. Let's again. Cheers again. Drinking Golden Boys out on the patio. And I don't know. Do they have Triple C Golden Boy out there in Ireland or what? Like, tell us a little bit before we get into going on with the club. What's happening out there?
In Northern Ireland, they have Guinness. They have Smittix. And they have Heineken, pretty much. I mean, they have some Peronis as well. But the Guinness is where what was flowing, for sure. I mean, they like... The best Guinness in the world you're going to find.
Magners?
Magners, yes. Magners in Northern Ireland, Bulmers in Ireland.
Oh, okay, yeah. Yes. Well, yeah. What's so different between Northern Ireland and regular Ireland, Johnny? I don't know, you know? Do we need to get into that?
It's not that type of podcast. But in the bottle, fresh, that's how they serve it in the bottle with ice.
Oh, beautiful. Bulmers.
Glass bottle and... fantastic trip. Just had a great time. You know, got introduced to some Gaelic football and some hurling as well.
Really?
Being that this is a sports show, I saw a hurling match, which was phenomenal. Just stumbled upon one, a really competitive hurling match.
Badass.
And also at a pub, the All Ireland Gaelic football semifinal weekend was the weekend that I was in town.
I mean, that's fantastic.
So the fans were all at the pub, and we were watching the match. It was the way it worked, county versus county. It was County Kerry versus County Tyrell, I think. Kerry into the final. I think the All-Ireland Gaelic football final is this weekend. Last weekend was the hurling final. So it's like a huge sporting time of the year.
Right, but it's the best time of the year to be a GAA member. But then again, isn't all the entire year a good time to be a GAA member? Shout out Kevin Egan. You know, we wouldn't have Kevin Egan without Gaelic football. His dad was a famous Gaelic footballer.
Friend of the show.
Yeah, friend of the show, Kevin Egan, friend of MLS, friend of Apple. And his dad, a very accomplished Gaelic footballer, met the future Mrs. Egan during a... tour over of the Irish Gaelic football team coming over in Chicago. You can go back in the feed and listen to those the Kevin Egan episode, the second of two Kevin Egan episodes. Maybe we'll get him again for a third. You never know. But yeah, so it's good to have you back.
It's great to be back, and the sporting vibe continues. I was at the Open Championship, by the way. We'll get into that on our golf episode.
Well, remember the last Walt, for a great, tremendous friend of the show, the last Walt, still out there in the Twitterverse. He was always the one that was like saying, hey, Johnny, you need to do a golf show, you know, because you got some good golf takes.
Some great golf takes.
Charlotte Golf Show?
Yeah, Charlotte. It's, you know, it's
maybe we get Westwood back, you know?
a round of golf with Danny Brams, myself, Dean Smith, And Ashley Westwood. That'll hit the YouTube page at some point.
Oh, that'd be amazing.
In the next couple years.
What's especially the best? What's the best ball pairing? You taking Dino or Ash on your squad there?
That's a good question. And I get first. I get first pick.
Well, you got the best handicap. Yeah.
Oh man,
you earned it.
I think I'm picking. It's Westy. It's West.
Yeah.
You kidding me? I'm playing with the captain.
Yeah. No doubt.
And you and Dino can vibe. Right. You've been at many Dean Smith press conferences.
I mean, me and Dino, like, you know, the best friends, you know, forevermore, for sure.
So what's the latest? There was a press conference where it's Thursday. There's a match on Saturday. Dean Smith spoke today.
Yeah, and I have not listened yet. I flew up 77 from my work office down in Ballantyne and got to Triple C as quickly as possible. But I'll do a decoding the presser tomorrow morning.
Perfect.
And listen to what Dean had to say.
I saw some quotes from our friend Will Pelagic, who was there covering the press conference. Yeah. Doesn't miss a presser.
No. Missed the show one time. Doesn't miss a presser.
And you know, he had some updates and some quotes. We'll get into those comments.
Yeah, for sure.
But also want to get into the fact that the club's on a bit of a heater right now.
Three out of three wins, 9 points out of nine.
On the spin.
On the spin, on the bounce.
I love the English football terms. And when Dino's really leaning into on the spin.
It's so good, yeah. It's so good.
Yeah, he's not going to give
up. Part of his vocab at this point. Yeah,
exactly.
I mean, I believe the club tweeted something to the effect of that Charlotte FC was a three-match week for all the clubs, you know, Saturday, Wednesday, Saturday for everybody, and Charlotte was the only team out of 30 to get 9 points out of that stretch, so that's good. We're picking up points on everybody in that situation.
So, best in the league.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right. And desperately needed since we had lost match after match after match leading up to that and given away goals in stoppage time against KC, against Orlando, dropping points all over the board. But those times are gone.
No, it's the same as it always has been when this team is playing well, Danny. It's like, get the points at home, and we suck on the road.
Right.
Like, and that's, by the way, that still exists.
Right. What happened in KC was an atrocity, for sure, about 3 or 4 weeks ago. Yeah.
That still happens. But there's some home cooking, and there's home cooking again on Saturday against Toronto, which this is real. Everybody in the city expects 3 points on Saturday against Toronto. Yeah.
Toronto's like the worst team in MLS, pretty much. And they lost the two best players.
Charlotte should be like -450 in that game.
I mean, yeah.
Like, it's like you're going to go – you got to go rip.
Not financial advice, but hell yeah. Place your bets.
You got to go rip that and rip their throats out and try to win at 3-0.
Right. I want to see first half goal. I want to stomp all over them. I want to see just a dominating performance where, like, score two in the first, two in the second, and just blow them away. Maybe concede one just because you stopped caring late in the match. Win 4-1. That'd be great.
Well, it leads to the question, is Pep Bial the best player in MLS?
He can't stop scoring, Johnny.
Double-digit goals, double-digit assists.
Yep.
He's not on the All-Star team, but nobody gives a fuck.
No. Right. Well, some people do, but if you're listening to this episode and you're like, man, I can't believe Pep Bial wasn't an All-Star, my hope is that we can convince you by the end of the episode it's not that big a deal because – A, All-Star is a meaningless recognition. Maybe he gets a slight financial bonus. The only thing I would worry about is if he's like missing out on a financial bonus that he obviously deserves. But like, he can still be the league MVP at the end of the season without having played in the All-Star game. Christian Colina won Goalkeeper of the Year last year. He wasn't an All-Star.
Pep Bial right now, Danny, he's almost averaging a half a goal a game. He scores every 188 minutes.
That's
like
incredible.
It's ridiculous what his statistics are saying right now about his ability to score goals when he plays. Mm-hmm. He has, I think, 23 starts this year. Every game he's played, he's started in MLS, and he's averaging like 82 minutes a game. Mm. He's the guy. He's really, really the guy right now. And he's the orchestrator. He's the conductor.
Yeah. He's the magician of Mecklenburg.
Yes. And it's
El
obvious.
Mago.
It's obvious.
You know. Yeah.
The question is, can it last? I mean, that's the big question. Will it last?
I think you have to say it can because it's not like it's like come to, in like one burst. It's not like there was a dry spell and then a burst and a dry spell and a burst. It's very consistent. Like he's always doing it.
Right. Yeah.
He's always in the pockets.
Like a cello.
Yeah.
Like, you know, just like a long, consistent.
The maestro, if you will.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, I did the thing. I don't know if you saw this episode recently where I said that if there was a Pep Bial biopic, he should be played by Bradley Cooper. Like, I found these two picks where they look very, very similar to me. At least to my eyes, they look similar. Some people were saying it should be The dude from Gladiator 2, Paul Mescal. But I was like, no, he's Bradley Cooper for sure. And Bradley Cooper was in the movie in a biopic called The Maestro. Pep Biel, The Maestro. Let's go.
He is The Maestro for sure. And yeah, to me, he is one of the best players in MLS. And the reason why is because of double-digit assists and goals.
Yeah.
It's like everything.
Right.
Everywhere.
Right.
He's just got it in the center of the pitch. He's the Spanish midfielder. Remember when he was brought on?
Yeah.
And we had the conversation Charlotte FC just signed like a classic Spanish maestro.
Yeah.
A midfielder that can really, because Olympiacos, and this is something that's important to me, like to talk about, is Olympiacos is a proper club.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Like, proper. Right.
Champions League club.
Correct.
Yeah.
And that's where Pep Biel was playing, and that's where Charlotte FC got him on loan. I saw our question. I think it's a great time to bring in a Tifo's question.
It's always a great time to bring in a Tifo's question.
And it was, we've got questions coming in. Let's see here. And it's Ash Hammer.
He's in. He did it. He must have been listening to this broadcast that's not live, but amazing.
He's in. So far this season, which of our lone players would you sign on a permanent deal?
I mean, obviously Pep, technically still on a loan, right? I mean, I think Pep has a DP contract waiting for him probably by the end of this year. I think he knows it.
But Zaha's on a loan as well.
Zaha's on a loan. I would certainly sign Zaha. And Jaquiel Marshall-Ruddy's on a loan. I would love to say bring JMR on in full time.
The question is Zaha or Biel. They're both on loan, and who?
And we can only sign one.
Yes.
See, that shocks me because I don't love the question just because I don't love being put on the spot. I do like.
But you do like the question.
I love you asking the question. I don't like the question being directed at me because I get put on the spot. But I'm gonna have to say, I'll be perfectly honest. I think my answer is Pep Biel, and that's not a slight to Wilf Zaha whatsoever. I'm so glad Zaha's part of this club. He's also performing very well at the moment, for sure. He's contributing. It's a tough question to answer, but I got to answer with Pep Biel. I think we lose more if we lost Pep than if we lost with Wilf.
Well, do you think that I would ask you that question without developing my own opinion beforehand?
I do not think that at all.
Wilfred Zaha, for me, we're on total opposite sides.
I love it.
And I think that's a good thing.
Embrace debate.
I saw the question. I thought about it, and I said, you know what? At the end of the day, I just think that Wilf is at a class above.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, you know, you lose somebody like Pep in the midfield, and that's a problem. But that's just me. I'm just saying, forget about right now. It's a hypothetical question, and I do think Zaha gives the team something. His edge. We sat right there in Philadelphia when he scored that goal, right? And he loved the away goal.
Yes,
he loved to get the result in front of the opposing crowd.
Oh yeah,
we saw the way he reacted after his goal in Atlanta.
He's a shithouser.
He's a dog on the road. You know, he's somebody that you want on your team to bring with you on the road.
What I would say is everything that Pep has done, which has been great, Wilf is capable of. I'm not sure Pep is capable of what Zaha did against Atlanta, which was the stiff arm left, stiff arm right, make both center backs look like little punks, crying to the referee like the little brother, and scoring that goal. Like, I don't know if Pep could pull that off. Wilf is a special player for sure.
He is.
I get it.
But it's a great question. It's why we're celebrating the Tifos tonight.
Shout out Ash Hammer.
And it's good to get a question in early on the show.
I will say this, though. But, like, so then is Pep the best player in MLS, you ask? Is Pep the best player in Charlotte FC history?
I would say that he is way up there.
Statistically.
Way up there with our top class midfielders like Nuno Santos.
yeah.
You know, that's right.
And he's way up there with like 80th minute Andre Shinyasiki as the best player of all time. That's incredible.
You know,
for sure.
You know, the midfield, really, the history of the club in the midfield, it really... The class really runs deep. I mean, I don't Ben Bender,
right? Alan Franco, TT Ortiz, Jordi Alcivar. I mean, we can name names if we need to.
That's what you're going up against.
Yeah.
So of course he's going to look better than all those guys,
right?
Because Pep Biel is a proper player that comes from Olympiacos, and Zoran Crneta should be credited for the way that he
lauded even
brought Pep Biel in, but. There's another side of the coin. There's a lot of people that are pretty upset about this roster build. And I've got to admit, this is my first time on the show since Charlotte FC sold Patrick Ajuman.
Oh, wow. Dude, are you okay? Johnny, do you need some support? Like, that's a really good point. And it's almost like there was a lot of noise about don't sell him, don't sell him, don't sell him, don't sell him. But then he was sold, and it was like, well, he's gone. I guess there's nothing we can do about it.
Should Charlotte sign a striker? I mean,
well,
Giamakis.
Yeah, Georgios Giamakis. GG. Yeah, good. I say GG to GG, but
he's an expensive player. Who knows if Charlotte's actually considering him? They've got. You know, a potential bid on an Australian striker. Same
Archie Goodwin, I think. Yeah. Wow.
Maybe we should
small dick crew just checking in there. Yeah.
Maybe we should sign Arch.
I know you love an Archie, but one of Tottenham's players, and his name's Archie. Archie. I know you love Archie Gray.
Archie Goodwin with an Archie.
Could you love Archie Goodwin as much? Yeah. I don't know. You know.
And then there's one other striker candidate. We'll talk about
that guy that played for QPR. Yeah, we made a low ball offer. I don't
championship.
Think he's come over. Yeah, yeah. I forget his name. I tweeted about him. I've already forgotten his name. Low ball offer FC. Like, it is kind of funny. I'm watching the Tom Bogert feeds. I'm watching Fabrizio Romano. And it's like, so and so signs this guy. So and so signs this guy. Blah. And it's like Charlotte FC offer rejected. Charlotte FC bid too low. It's just like, oh well.
It's definitely Charlotte FC is a club that splashes the pot.
You know
what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, exactly.
They're at the poker table, and when
even
if they're like unsure of whether they should call,
right?
They still splash the pot.
Min raise.
Just to get noticed.
Yeah.
Knowing in the back of their mind, they're like, we're probably going to lose this hand.
Call on the flop, fold on the turn. Charlotte FC, 100%. No doubt. Big time. And
it's Charlotte Soccer Show. It's a beautiful evening here. It's been hot, but tonight it's absolutely perfect. No humidity, and that's the key. If it's going to be hot this weekend, if it's a dry heat in the evenings, you can enjoy it. And we're enjoying it tonight here in Southend. I'm almost Loso. When we started coming to Southend over 10 years ago now.
Yeah.
This was Loso.
Yeah, yeah.
Not anymore. It's Triple C.
Triple C is kind of like the border between So End and Loso, if you will, almost at this point.
But I'm gonna get another beer.
Yeah, we need more beers, and
I'm gonna go off the Golden Boy as well. I'm gonna try something different.
I'm gonna branch out. We've both had two goals. You know, full disclosure, just for those keeping track at home, we're both two Golden Boys in, and we're both gonna go off the board for the third.
Yeah.
And Johnny, I want to ask you, because you're right. We didn't like. We could do an entire episode on how we feel about Patrick Aujermong, and we've done that. But like, the question is. Is the reason we're not missing Patrick so much because he's already been, you know, functionally replaced by Edan Tokwamadi?
Where in the world is
Edan Tokwamadi?
Cheers to you, Danny. We're back on the show, and I went with an amber ale.
It looks good.
It's easy to drink. It's
crushable.
It's a 5.5% amber ale here at Triple C, and it's fantastic, and it's got a great name too. Float on.
We'll all float on, all right. I love it. Yeah, they need to play some Modest Mouse on the PA here. Right now we're hearing a little, how you like me now? I don't know if you can hear that in the background, but good track. I'm drinking a flat brim, which gives me reason to mention a tragedy that happened recently, which was I lost my flat brim blue and yellow lightning bolt hat. I think I mentioned this on the last episode.
You did.
I'll keep mentioning it because I'm so sad. But yeah, I love a flat brim. This is a hazy IPA that kind of clocks in at an ABV of a session level. So it's drinkable, and it's got me in a little bit of a haze, and life is beautiful, you know? And that first segment, Johnny, felt really good.
Yes.
But I have a feeling the second segment might be even better.
Edan Tokwamadi is just playing fantastic football right now.
Yeah.
He's clearly a good replacement for Patrick Aujermong, and that hurts me to say out loud.
Yeah, I know. And the question is, like, nothing will ever make us forget Patrick and Patrick's place in our hearts and everything that he's done for us. And like could have the what if of like if he had stuck around and been given the DP spot and made the face of the franchise is always going to haunt a lot of us, including myself. And yet, the production at least, is being matched by the youngster Don Toklamadu, who's 3 or 4 years younger than Patrick and scoring goals.
It's been a beautiful thing to see. It has. Idan Toklamadi, I think, is the striker for the club right now.
Yeah.
Should they sign a backup striker? Should they sign a striker to actually start? Like, that's the... Because they have to sign somebody. It's a good day to pick the tape, because this is the first day that the MLS summer window is actually open.
Yes. Happy transfer window day.
Yes.
Happy birthday, Christian Kalina. Happy transfer window opening day, you know?
Yeah. Like,
July 24th.
They're trying to add somebody. I think they're going to just add a warm body, whoever they can get at this point.
Right, because Toklamadi's playing so many minutes.
But there's offers out to Australia, offers out to England, there's offers out to Mexico. Like,
we hope.
Again, we're just splashing the pot, and to me that means like they'll just take whoever they can get, and it's going to be a competition.
Right. If you know how to stand in the box and call for a pass, you have a chance to be shined by Charlotte FC this month.
Well, what I mean by that is that there's only a space for one, Danny. If you sign a striker, it means Toklamadi can't play.
Well, that's a question that people have been asking.
Is
like,
is it a competition? Is it Toko's job? Who's the striker? That's why this is the most important time of the season for the club, because they don't have a backup striker.
Right.
They're going to sign one, and we're going to find out what.
Well,
type
do
of
you sign up a backup, or do you sign someone to come in over Toko?
That's my point. Like they're going to sign who's available, because they're already missed on three.
Right.
That's my point.
And probably even more than that we don't even.
They've
know
already
about.
Missed on three. So we're 5, 6, 7, 8 down the lineup. But you know what I want to ask about?
If you think Azorin hasn't called FC Kukurici and seen if they had any strikers in the last few weeks, you're dead wrong. But sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
It's remarkable that Toklamadi has been able to do this so quickly, look so good, and fill the shoes of Patrick Alchemong. It's remarkable.
Well, you know, you talk about the front office, you talk about the scouting, we joke about Zoran all the time. Zoran is a hits and misses type of guy. He's got a lot of big misses, and he's got some major hits, and Toklamadi's one of the big hits, for sure. Because this is a guy that was brought in to crown legacy about this time last year. By the time he showed up and got clear to play and started scoring,
he
scored a brace in his first Crown Legacy appearance, and he scored like in his first 3 or 4 Crown Legacy matches. He just dominated MLS Next Pro, and he was one of the most clear-cut, obvious promotions to the first team that we've ever had once it happened.
And you can see it now on the pitch in the 11 for Dean Smith.
Right.
So we're going to keep an eye on that. We're going to be talking about the transfer
window.
We'll
never forget Pat, but we love Idan Toklamadi.
Patrick Alchemong, I saw a friend of the show, Jorge Torres, presented Pat today with some photography and some art to sign as he went away. It was number one fan, but we need to celebrate that, you know, because there's things like that that are part of the fabric of the club. And I'm interested to see how Pat's tenure goes, but yeah, it's just nice. I'm not just a Patrick Alchemong stan. That's my point. There's others out there.
Well, I just want to say this, like, just apropos of nothing else. The club is lucky to have people like Jorge Torres in the fan base, because this is a guy, a young man, who goes and shoots the games for not a ton of compensation, but he goes and he photographs all the matches, just like our boy Matt Gesslin does the same thing. But Jorge does it on behalf of Blue Furia, on behalf of Soccer Sheet, and he feels it. And like he's taken like these like great iconic pictures of Patrick Alchemong, Brandon Cambridge, Justin Miriam, you know, whatever. But like. And, like, what Jorge does, like, he feels it. And he gets these great pictures, and he, like, goes and meets the players and gives them framed photos that he's taken. And, like, the players always seem to appreciate. So, like, that's just a little bit of the magic of Charlotte FC, if you will, the community.
Yes, that's right. That's a small club moment. Yeah. And that's fun to call those things out here.
We have to.
On the show, because it is a small club at the end of the day.
Well, but
it's a big club.
We got aspirations.
Yes, exactly.
We got aspirations, for sure.
And those aspirations... Back to the TIFO's questions, my friend.
Okay, let's go.
Right back to the TIFO's questions. You talk about what the aspirations are for the club. We got a great question from Chef Wolf.
Love
on
Chef
X.
Wolf.
He says, prediction for the rest of the year. Keep up the great work. Shout out to you, Chef.
Well, yeah. Well, we're going to keep... I predict we will keep up the great work. This is my prediction. No. My prediction for the rest of the year is... I haven't like counted up mathematically the number of points that I expect. My prediction for the rest of the year is get out of League's Cup group stage, lose in the first knockout game, and then focus on the league and finish. The goal is finish top four. That's what everyone's saying. Top four in the East. Top four in the East. Top four in the East. If I'm predicting, I'm going to say we finish a little short of that. I think Charlotte FC is a playoff team, but not a top four team. I think they've given up too many points, and I don't think that Charlotte FC ends up in the top four, but I think they make the playoffs, and they do win a playoff series despite not having home field advantage. How about that?
And they win a playoff series despite not winning home field advantage. That's the kicker. That's really what matters at the end. There's
right.
a lot.
That's
to
what I think is going to happen.
There's yeah. a lot.
We almost did it last year.
There's a lot to digest there.
If it wasn't for Dunk McGuire faking a penalty, you know, we would have advanced.
Well, the big question is, you talk about top four, and just to call it out, Charlotte has 35 points as of this taping, and top four has 44. That's already 9 points.
That's a
back.
Lot of points.
That's a yeah. lot of points.
With how many matches have we played?
24 matches.
So there's 14 left. You're going to make up 9 points in 14 matches? I don't think so.
No.
I don't think so.
I don't think so either, for sure.
Hopefully we beat Toronto.
Yeah.
I mean, I said if we didn't beat Atlanta, I said on these airwaves, I said if Charlotte FC doesn't beat Atlanta and get 3 points against Atlanta, they will miss the playoffs. And I'm going to say it again.
Yeah.
If we don't beat Toronto and get 3 points, we will miss the playoffs. So how can I think that we're going to get top four if that's what's at stake this weekend?
It's like an open bet, you know. If I win this one,
right, yeah,
I'm going to double down.
Roll it. It's like an extended parlay, if you will, for sure. It worked last time, although we did go down 1-0 at halftime.
They should beat Toronto. They should be massive favorites in this match on Saturday, 100%. And that's what concerns me.
I think they will. It's much easier for me to say it this week than it was last
week. I'll tell you what this game would have been. This game definitely would have been a fixture where Karol Świderski got his goal.
Yeah, exactly.
Against one of the worst teams in the league.
Yeah.
A home match.
Careful.
Karol was like the perfect poacher for that moment. So who on this club on Saturday night, again, in a game that you should win, who's the poacher? Who's the one that actually goes and gets the job done? Is it Edon?
Well, it leads me, John, that question, I'm going to answer your question with a question. Because I do think that we need to get to some of these TIFO's questions that we're saying. And my question is, this has come from Ike Gordon at the Cinco_5. Shout out, Ike. Thank you for watching. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a TIFO's. Do we sell off Abada this winter if things don't improve, or at least buy out his DP status? And I'm going to say...
So you don't think it's going to be Abada?
I know. I think he is. I think Abada is the poacher. I think my answer to Ike on this TIFO's question is we do not sell off Abada. I'm keeping the faith with Liel Abada. I think he's playing horribly for the last month, and yet I think he's young enough and has the skill enough to come good, and I think Liel Abada has a part to play in Charlotte FC's run out for the rest of the season.
He has elite,
and it starts on Saturday.
Elite speed,
yes,
and it's a great call out, and it's a great answer, Ike. Thanks so much for the question. The answer is Abada should be you. So you think Abada not only will play well, you think he's the guy that's going to be Saturday night in the moment scoring the goal.
I think he'll have two goal contributions against Toronto. A goal, either two goals, a goal and assist, two assists. I think Abada makes it happen for sure.
Abada is somebody that I really like down the right hand side, Danny.
Right,
I do.
And Vargas is playing out of his mind.
Well too.
It's great. Yeah. But like I think Abada knows the chatters out there. I think he's working his ass off in training this week.
It's good form.
Yeah.
There's really good form, Danny, in that like the forward line is playing well, midfield is playing well, and Tim Ream, who is now taking the place of Andrew Privet, that's something we have to address as well. That's happening right now, and Andrew Privet's done a great job, and right now I just think it's this simple. The United States men's national team center back is on the team, and he's playing ahead of Andrew Privet. Like,
you're right.
Doesn't that make sense?
It makes sense, and I have to admit my own bias in this situation, because not only am I just a huge fan of Andrew Privet in general, love, like, every time he speaks in front of a microphone, he represents himself well. I think he has had some incredible play on the pitch. And to admit my personal bias, I've had the pleasure of like sharing a few drinks several times at Hot Fly with Privet's dad. I met Shane Privet and family in Nashville. They come to a lot of games. They hang out at Hot Fly. This was the smart thing to do pregame. And like, he's bought me a couple drinks. I bought him a couple drinks. We've had good conversations. So like, I can't like totally objectively comment. If it's up to me,
I would put a Privet in over Ream because I like Privet more. But like, I can't disagree with Dino's decision making to go for the experience there either at all. And Andrew has made a couple of bad mistakes in sort of in the losses that we were seeing a month and a half ago. And he's Andrew Privet is a young player who has even more to learn, and he has a bright future. But right now, I can't blame the team for putting Ream into the starting 11 over him.
The good news is he's healthy enough, hopefully, to get into League's Cup. And maybe Tim Ream can get a bit of a break in League's Cup, and Andrew Privet can play at the back. So there's still options out there. And that's why it's important to be in all competitions. And when Charlotte FC gets knocked out of the U.S. Open Cup early and they're not competitive in these league fixtures, we get annoyed because we don't get to see players like that have their opportunity to get minutes if they're on the fringes of the first team.
Yeah, I agree. And League's Cup is interesting. I said in a recent episode that I don't want to see Ashley Westwood playing a single minute in the League's Cup group stage because like it's time for him to get some rest. He's played, I think he's tied for the league lead in minutes played in MLS with Milanda right now, and I just think that he's played every minute.
Yeah.
So I don't think League's Cup is a spot where – I think League's Cup is a spot for Eric Williamson, Nikola Petkovic,
please. Yeah, that's the point. That's the cup
and Andrew Privet.
Yeah, exactly. Let's have some fun with it. Maybe even some really deep cup players right now who are playing for Crown Legacy may deserve a chance.
It doesn't get much deeper of a cut than Nikola Petkovic, who right now has to be considered – we talked about Zorin's hits and misses, and like – yeah. If you compare Toklamadi and Petkovic, who were both brought in on big dollar contracts stashed on Crown Legacy for half a year, then came to the first team, Toklamadi, huge success. Petkovic, big, huge failure. I mean, he's done almost nothing, and he should be a lot better.
Mike Mecklenburger, it's great to hear
friend
from
of
Mike.
The show, Mike.
And he's got a great
the mayor.
Question. Yeah, cheers. Cheers to Mike. Independence this season, it's getting to be that time of the year. Independence in the hunt right now, Danny? I can't say I'm sure. But it's
they're having a good season. they had an unfortunate draw last Saturday where they took the lead and conceded a goal. But yeah, we have covered the Independents less on this show this year than compared to last year, just because needs must. But we still love to see them succeed. And Mike Jeffries is always a friend of the show.
Yeah, and I think like it's one of those things where it's easy to lose sight of the Independents because. David Tepper like crushed them
right,
with Charlotte FC.
Exactly. His suffocation campaign is working.
Okay, good. USL League One, Independence fourth on the table. They're top four.
They're right there.
We are top four.
They're right there. Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Yeah, we don't have to
Charlotte
worry
is a soccer city.
Yeah, we don't have to worry about being top four. We already are top
Shout
four.
Shout out, I mean, and also, while we're there, unfortunate loss by the Carolina Ascent in the playoffs of the USL Super League when they looked like the best team by far in the regular season and had an unfortunate playoff loss, but
I always thought it was going to be a trophy. If I'm being honest, like I was very certain that the Ascent they were going to win the trophy.
Yeah, I thought they were locked.
I just thought Philip Poole was the best manager in the league, and that they were trying to make a splash. And sometimes it just comes down to like the way it falls on the pitch.
Yeah, they got done dirty with a late goal that was questionable offsides.
I saw the replay. I took a magnifying glass.
But the Ascent will be back for year two. Charlotte Independents are doing their thing with also some really great kits this year Charlotte Independents are wearing. Yeah. The last few years have been great for Charlotte Independents kits. But back to Charlotte FC.
No. The question, Mike, from Mike.
Oh.
The question for Mike is important.
Right.
We can't skip it.
Whenever Mike Mecklenburger comes up with a question, we gotta get into it. It's our Independence Minute, if nothing else. Yeah, for sure.
I think that he'd appreciate that.
Yeah.
I
mean, he's, love you, Mike.
Would you rather have a bottle of wine or a day off? That's the context there is that Dean Smith paying his center backs, his defensive line, his fullbacks in wine bottles on clean sheets, as well as the keeper. But after Charlotte beats Atlanta on the road, the guys earned a day off. So what would you prefer? Do you want a day off or do you want a nice, like a bottle of wine? I'm not talking about something that you find down at Harris Teeter. And I love Harris Teeter. I shop there every week. I'm talking about something, a nice bottle that you'd find at the wine store.
Dean Smith budget bottle of wine is what you're talking about here? Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, the most recent bottle of wine I drank was $5.99 at Trader Joe's. And it was an amazing red blend. But yeah. Well, I actually have a lot of thoughts on this. This seems like a simple question, but I could make a whole episode about just this question probably. So good on you, Mike.
Yes.
First off, a lot of my days off
include a bottle of wine, just like, you know,
you only get one.
Both is good, you know. If pick your favorite, both is good gift. There's a couple good ones in the library. I'm going to say if Dean's buying the wine, then yeah, I probably wouldn't mind having the wine. But a day off is nice. Although I also love my job, so I don't mind going to work. But I do like a day off.
But what? It's a really nice bottle of wine, and you can have it on a Tuesday night with a nice steak. If you like your job, you just go to work the next day.
It's got
to
be red. I really don't like white wine. I mean, I'll drink it, but I'm a red wine guy.
I didn't even consider.
Yeah.
This being a white.
Yeah. Okay. Thank God. Good. Now I do want to say this. Now this is where I don't want to come off as a hater. I love all my Charlotte FC local media peeps. It's, you know, all the podcasts, all the independent news outlets, all, you know, even the TV, even the local TV people.
Can I give a shout out to somebody specific right now? The Crown Cast.
Yeah.
Listen to the Crown Cast this week. Thought it was a good episode.
Always.
I want to give love to
Logan
the
and them are doing
there.
Great work. Yes. Yeah, for sure.
Guest on the show, happen. Right? Yeah. Logan's been on the show.
Yeah, for sure.
Of course he has. Yeah. I mean, we got to get him back on the show.
A lot of the local podcasters have been guests on the show, and we've been lucky to have them. But I will say this. I'm a little bit tired of the whole, I think even Dean Smith, putting myself in Dean Smith's head, he's got to be thinking, I wish I hadn't said the whole thing about the wine for the clean sheets, because it comes up like all the time. It's like, oh, hey, Dino, you got another clean sheet? Are you going to be getting the wine for the guys? And it's just like, we fucking get it. All right. Not everything has to be a reference to like a promise that was made literally 18 months ago at this point. Yeah. So
tired.
Move on.
Tired. Yeah. Bottle of wine.
Yeah.
Wired. Day off.
Yes. You know, okay. Perfect. You just answered the question better than I ever could in a half a sentence. Well done.
Brandon Davis checking in.
Tremendous Tifos. One of the biggest Pat Ogemong fans out there too.
Yes. Charlotte FC has become really reliant on Pep. Should this summer's, quote, big signing, like we're definitely going to make one, maybe we will, be another creative midfielder, not a striker, like everyone's clamoring for. Z-Man, sign Pep at all costs. PSPS, don't raise my season ticket costs. It's like
the three-part question from Brandon. You know how we feel about those.
I respect the creativity of just like, yes. PS isn't a question, but you do notice what it says.
Just tack it on. Yeah, exactly. A little postscript for the people. The big signing should not be a creative midfielder. I don't think so. I think the big, I honestly, and again, personal bias comes into a lot of this stuff. I couldn't be a bigger fan of Ashley Westwood than I am. The guy is amazing. He's been the perfect captain for this club for the last 2 years. He embraces the community. He comes and hangs out with us.
Yeah.
And like randomly has been on he came and like just a surprise guest appearance on a live stream that we did at Hot Fly one time. Ashley Westwood is the fucking man. Don't get it twisted. But, to quote Dean Smith, he's not getting any younger. And I think if we're looking for a big signing, a box-to-box midfielder that can start to become the Ashley Westwood successor is really what I think is the best thing for Charlotte FC. Because I think we have, like you said, John, we have a lot of creativity and production and success up top. We've got Pep Biel. We've got Wilf Zaha. We've got Lee Alabada. We've got Kerwin Vargas. We've got Idan Toklamada. We've got Tiger Smalls coming off the bench for energy late. Like, we don't necessarily need a big creative signing. We need someone who can fill in and take the reins and the mantle from Ashley Westwood as that box-to-box, six, organizer, defender.
I'm thinking about somebody like Sergio Busquets.
Yes, exactly. Or, you nailed it.
Or somebody like, you know, even like, he's not the right guy, but it's a Rodrigo De Paul.
Yeah. You're naming players that only one team is allowed to sign in this league, which might tease our next topic. But, might as well go for Rodri. You know, maybe Rodri's bored in at Manchester City and wants to come play with a fellow Spaniard in Pep Biel and come over. Who knows? Someone like that would be incredible.
Yeah, that's the type of signing.
The MLS version of Rodri is who we need. A destroyer who can make offensive contributions is perfect.
Yes. So we'll see. It'll be fun to see how that plays out. That would be the summer signing. There are a couple points we should talk about. I appreciate Brandon. He's the man because he like knows the show. He's like, by the way, here's some other topics for you guys to discuss.
Oh, and just while you're while you're teeing up that next topic, let me just say, don't raise our season ticket costs. In fact, the best thing Charlotte FC could do right now is lower season ticket costs for next year. I think because this is year four, this is a renewal year for a lot of people who signed four-year PSL contracts. Like, imagine the good. Like, here's what I honestly think. I think Charlotte FC is at risk of a lot of people not renewing because of the four-year contract and the PSL deal.
Okay.
And, like, you're actually going to make more money by lowering ticket prices because you could build a huge PR campaign around that and get a lot more renewals than you would even with a small increase. I think a small increase is death for Charlotte FC because I truly believe that thousands upon thousands upon thousands will say, I'm good if the ticket prices go up again next year. I really think so.
I just started watching the show on a streaming service. I forget which one. It was Shane Gillis and Tires. You ever hear this show called Tires?
Yeah, Tires is good. Yeah, I like Tires.
Okay.
Yeah.
It reminds me of that. It reminds me of what we have to do is we have to like up our inventory and sell at a discount when it comes to Charlotte FC tickets. Right. It's like there's a lot of seats in that building.
Right.
So just make them like practically free.
Right.
Like, who cares? No one's buying them anywhere.
You're selling $18 beers, bro. Like, we don't need to pay extra to get into the stadium.
Like, and by the way, like,
just get us in there.
Like, the bathrooms upstairs work, but there's no concessions.
Right.
Like, so you can, like, go
up there. The club level has become one of the worst value propositions in town for the sport.
And the water fountains work, you know? And I think that's one thing after the Euro trip, you know, the one thing that they need to do better in Bank of America Stadium is provide free water. Like, you can find bottled water. There's definitely places to drink somewhere, but it's just so easy.
They're we could give it to you free, or we could charge you $10, you know? Like,
Just need fill-up stations.
Yeah.
You know, because it's so freaking hot during our summer. Right. You always, if you don't drink water at Charlotte FC matches, like, you're fucked.
No, I almost died I remember one time I had I was so overheated at a Charlotte FC match, I had to leave the supporter section and go to the Lowe's supporter bar at, like, the 29th minute, because I was just, like, I was dying. And thank God to the quote-unquote volunteers who work there. They did give me a free water bottle that night, but normally it's way overpriced. Anyway, great question, Brandon. Hopefully we answered all that. The next topic we talked about, you talk about Busquets, you talk about Rodrigo de Paul, and it leads us naturally to the quote-unquote GOAT, Leo Messi.
It's a perfect way to end the episode, to fire off a take on this situation. Everybody's got a take on this situation. I'll start and I'll keep it succinct. If the rule is that you miss you're suspended a game for not deciding not to play in the All-Star game, then he should be suspended a match. Like, it's a good look for the league to do that. It's
he should 100% be suspended for skipping the All-Star game. I don't care that Messi skipped the All-Star game. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
And the All-Star game's coming to Charlotte next year, and we're probably going to be like, oh, gung-ho, All-Star, All-Star, All-Star. But when the All-Star game's not in Charlotte, I don't give a fuck about the All-Star game. You know, and I'm from Austin, Texas, and I love Austin.
You're going to be like that. I'm not sure if I'll be like that.
I hope they had a good time. I hope everyone had a great time at MLS All-Star Austin. Next year is going to be awesome.
It's a home match. It's a home match. And I can understand, like, if they suspend him for a match, it's a home match against Cincinnati. Like, the idea of if you're in Miami,
he's one of the best teams in
the
league.
Tickets.
You know, yeah.
I'm like to me, this whole segment is kind of tongue-in-cheek. Because, again, like, everybody's got an opinion, just like everybody has an asshole segment.
Right.
Like, because it doesn't. Because it really doesn't fucking matter.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, who cares if he plays against Cincinnati? In fact, go ahead, have a good time and play against Cincinnati. Messi's been great for MLS.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that the fumbling, it's like the fumbling of the situation that is so silly to me.
And
it's like
Commissioner Garber giving Messi cover, you know, for days and days about, I don't know if he'll play. Maybe he'll play. Maybe he won't.
But,
you know?
But that is
and
his job.
Last minute announcement.
But that is his job.
Yeah.
And guess what? If somebody who was likable had that job, the message would be better received.
100%, yeah. Yes. Right. It's easy to hate on the soccer don for sure. I had close proximity. I was able to go to the Charlotte FC sort of announcement event of when the official word came down. I saw Tepper and Garber and Zorin in this little three-man, you know, power. And I was like, well, one of these things is not like the other. But, Garber and Tepper and all these people that are at a level higher than any of us could ever really imagine getting to, they don't really care. They can flex all they want. But when it comes down to it, Garber's job is to not piss off. Messi is Garber's boss, is what I'm trying to say here. Like, Don Garber is the commissioner of the league, and he has a boss, and his boss's name is Leo Messi. And, like, Messi's going to do whatever Messi wants to do. And again, no one gives it. No, I don't really care if he played in the All-Star game or not. Like, but I just I care about the rules being equally applied to anyone, no matter who you are.
It's like the classic talk show topic that everyone's going to talk about,
right?
And that's good because it's fun for the league, but it's really not that important either way,
right? It's really and to be honest, all I give a fuck about is Cincinnati and Miami having a 1-1 draw and not gaining any points. You know, that is the best result for Charlotte FC fans, for sure. As far as it has been Messi, there's been people that have tried to do these revisionist takes of, like, has Messi truly been good for MLS? Well, yeah, obviously he has. Like, if you're trying to argue that Messi's not been good for MLS, you're spitting to the wind. Yeah, that's like, the dumbest take of all time.
You're down like some rabbit hole that you've lost sight of actually the light.
You've lost the plot, as they say. But does that make him above the rules? I don't think so. And yet, it's probably going to happen. He probably will suit up against Cincinnati.
I think it does make him above the rules because remember that, like, the players are owned by the league, too.
Yeah.
Like, it's a 51-49 split for the league owning all these clubs, too. So, technically, Messi, like, does work, is a league employee.
Sure.
And, like, a league employee, you could change rules for. It's Messi. It's literally Messi, no pun intended.
And I tend to be, you know, an idealist, and I like to think, you know, people of similar status should be treated the same, blah, blah, blah. You know, I sort of try to live that way. And yet, you can't, like, when I look at the real world, when I look in reality, you know, like, why are all the hot people getting all the dates? You know, like, why is the best player in the history of the sport getting special treatment? Like, it just is what it is. Like, certain people get special treatment for whatever reason. Like, if you want to fight against that, it's a noble cause, but you're going to lose.
Messi has been good for MLS. I'm interested to see what happens. It would be a great playoff pairing between Charlotte and Miami.
Oh, Charlotte and Miami in the 4-5 would be absolutely insane. Yeah. Hopefully, my earlier prediction would be wrong. We'd have home field match advantage. Can you imagine the freaking financial boner Tepper would get from getting an extra Messi game in Bank of America Stadium this year.
God. He'd be like, every seat, put it on the market.
Unreal. Oh, yeah, it's like, sorry, season ticket members.
We
have commandeered your tickets and we're reselling
the Messi tax. It would just be a tax. Like, you get an email from the club.
Amazing.
It's something like, you know, when they fire a manager and you get the corner flag.
Yeah.
It's like something like that. It's like club announcement.
Yeah, exactly. Club news and like, what could this be?
Messi's coming here, and that'd be awesome. It'd be good to see that match here.
And Messi is coming. We haven't even seen the Inter Miami at Charlotte match is still to come this year. Like, we haven't even had Messi come in town yet. And I can't wait to go boo him.
So the next match is coming up, our League's Cup. It's Atlas. It's Necaxa. Necaxa, we're starting to do a rivalry with Necaxa.
Yeah. No Coxa FC. Yeah. Let's go.
We're going to smash them again? I'm sorry. Inter Miami is playing Necaxa. I'm looking at the Inter Miami.
I think we play like America, Chivas, and Juarez, if I'm guessing right, on League's Cup.
Remember that match against Necaxa? Remember that match against Necaxa, the 3-0 at halftime?
It was beautiful. Scotty Arfield scored a goal. It was insane. We were in the vault for that match, bro. How could I forget?
It was definitely like one of those cup nights.
Yeah.
You know, there's nothing better than a cup night.
I said America. Monterrey, Chivas, and Juarez. Sorry. Yes. The Rayados. Let's go. Chivas is one of the biggest clubs in Mexico. That's going to be a road match for us, even in our home stadium, I feel. There's going to be a lot of Chivas fans in the stands.
That's going to be a fun night. That's going to be like, is that a week night or a...
So I double check. I don't know who we play when, but I know it's Thursday, Sunday, Thursday.
Sunday the 3rd at 7:50 p.m.
Yeah, okay. So, yeah, Chivas Guadalajara is the Sunday match, Thursday against Juarez, and then the next Thursday against Rayados. League's Cup is fun, but I think when we got more League's Cup we'll talk about in the future, but like the spoiler alert is, get us out of the group stage and then we'll talk.
when it comes to the East Cup.
We'll be back on the show. We'll be talking a lot throughout the season. Danny, it's been a pleasure to see you tonight. A pleasure to be on the show. Thanks for all the questions, the TIFOs, and 3 points Saturday night.
Must win.
Must win.
Absolute must win. You got to beat the worst teams in the league, like Atlanta, like DC, like Toronto.
As always, support the crown, baby.
Woo!